Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. A couple weeks before Christmas, Congress was compelled to pass another continuing resolution to fund the federal government and hence avert a government shutdown. The point is for Congress to authorize the borrowing of more money to fund the government. There's a lot of confusion about this and plenty of misleading articles and commentators referring to the government borrowing money. But the government is not borrowing money to fund $36 trillion. The federal government is having the Federal Reserve print the money, and the federal government sends the Federal Reserve an IOU, which they never plan to pay back. The objective is to pay for government salaries and grants and entitlements by simply printing the money. This increases the money supply, and the inflation is a tax on the American people. Rather than taxing everyone's savings, the government devaluates everyone's savings by 20%, and that pays for the government overspending. This is the way to tax people without collecting taxes. Ancient Rome, in its bankruptcy, did the same by devaluating the coinage, by reducing the amount of copper, silver, and gold in the coins, yet keeping the same face value. So back in June of 2023, Congress voted to raise the debt ceiling to $31.4 trillion and suspend the ceiling until January 1st of 2025. And since that day was upon Congress, Congress once again had to raise the debt ceiling. Current U.S. debt is about $36.3 trillion. So in a year and a half, the federal government borrowed about $5 trillion. Well, you say, wait a minute. I thought back in June of 2023, the debt ceiling was raised to only $31.4 trillion. It was. But it was also suspended until January of 2025. So the government could spend as much as it wanted under the Biden administration until the end of Biden's term. Now, Elon Musk and Donald Trump have been saying that the debt ceiling should be permanently suspended, so that Congress doesn't have to keep going through this crisis of raising the debt ceiling. But that would be a terrible policy. Without having to authorize debt, politicians in Washington would have no brakes on spending. But that's a whole other subject for another video. Now, the reason the government is spending so much money is that Biden has been lavishing money on government programs and departments, along with three huge spending bills. $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that Biden had passed when he took office in March of 2021. The $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill in the fall of 2021. Then the $700 billion Inflation Reduction Act in October of 2022. Basically the Green New Deal, renamed. And in addition to this, all the lavish funding of every department of government. Now, by the way, the Inflation Reduction Act that was to cost $700 billion actually cost somewhere between $1.5 to $3 trillion because the bill mandates continual subsidies and programs. And the original cost of the bill was only an estimate of how much money would be spent on these mandates, but it's coming in at double and triple of what was estimated. So the government is bringing in about $4 trillion and spending $6 trillion. Ever since COVID, the government has increased spending by $2 trillion per year. If the federal government would just return to the spending levels of 2019, $4 trillion per year, the budget would be balanced. And this is why Musk and Trump are planning under DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, to cut $2 trillion a year in government spending to get us back to that 2019 level. The politicians don't want to do this. Once they were able to spend $6 trillion a year, They have no desire to cut off the flow of extra grants and salaries to their constituents. In the words of Ronald Reagan, the closest thing on earth to eternal life is a government program. As far as examples of the waste, an audit in December revealed that the Federal Department of Education spent over $1 billion for DEI programs in schools. And the Department of Justice also spent $100 million for DEI programs in schools. Why? To help the students grow up to be better people? Well, that's their justification, and this is their new religion, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. They believe that by teaching people to accept diversity, equity, and inclusion, that will make for a happier, more just, more crime-free society. But as I've mentioned often, all the philosophy of diversity, equity, and inclusion does is teach a moral equivalency for all behaviors. It's really the basis for immorality. But financially, it doesn't take but 5 minutes to tell students to accept diversity, to treat people equal, and to include others. Teachers could do this as part of their regular teaching without a dime being spent. For example, imagine if the government wanted teachers to teach Jesus' golden rule. It certainly wouldn't take $1 billion. Well, the reason for the huge price tag is that it's about more than just teaching diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's a whole course in cultural Marxism. That Western values have oppressed people, and that everything is about power structures that need to be dismantled. It's not enough for this to be taught in colleges, because everyone doesn't go to college. Leftists want Marxism taught in public grammar schools and high schools. But additionally, it's about paying the salaries and the grants to lazy leftist ideologues. You know, it used to be that if you received a government check, a government grant, you had to actually make something for the government. Build a park, build a building, clean up a toxic waste site. But now, you know, lazy intellectuals have convinced politicians to give them millions just to type up some lesson plans and promote an ideology. It's really an easy gig. So do you see what's going on here? It's graft. It's theft. It's economic corruption. Government overspending over the last 2 years has been more than what the U.S. spent on World War II, even in today's dollars. And much of the spending has been graft for leftist ideologues, so they can have well-paying jobs for doing just about nothing. It's really that bad. I was just looking at a plan that Mexico has for building a 62-mile canal across Mexico to be an alternative to the Panama Canal. It would cost about $300 billion, which Mexico can't afford right now. But the recent budget resolution just passed by Congress last week not only covers current government operations, but an additional $300 billion in new spending. Completely new spending. Now, when the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, put forth this bill, it was 1,500 pages. It was not simply a bill to increase the debt ceiling to fund government, but bureaucratic agencies have been working for months to craft this bill in order to add new programs and additional spending. What was in the bill? It included $110 billion in new disaster aid, $29 billion for FEMA, $8 billion for federal highways and roads, $12 billion for community development block grants and disaster relief, $3 billion for tribal assistant grants, also $21 billion for disaster relief for farmers, and $10 billion in economic assistance for farmers. Also funding to rebuild the Baltimore Bridge, pay raises for members of Congress, increased funding for the Secret Service, and there was all sorts of smaller fundings and new laws. A provision that allowed Congress to opt out of Obamacare, new laws concerning concert ticket pricing, new laws about recycling, a feral swine eradication program, continuation of the Wool Trust Fund, also funding for juvenile delinquents so they can get their driver's license, a law that homeless adults can no longer be referred to as homeless. Extending a sheep marketing grant program, and the list goes on and on. When Mike Johnson put forth this bill, more conservative members of Congress completely rejected it, along with the president-to-be, Donald Trump, and Elon Musk, and Vivek, with their advisory board, the Department of Government Efficiency. See, Mike Johnson was simply operating on business as usual, trying to get a bill passed to keep the government going until President Trump took over. But what Johnson didn't realize was that the political climate had changed. Conservative Republicans now had the political clout to reject the pork. So since Mike Johnson put forth this bill, many conservatives wanted him removed as Speaker of the House. Because apparently he didn't get it. The goal is to put an end to financial corruption. So last week, Mike Johnson was narrowly voted back in to be the Speaker of the House, but he learned his lesson. And in his speech to Congress, he promised first to work with Trump and Musk and Vivek with the Department of Government Efficiency to implement spending reforms. Second, to audit the spending of government agencies. And third, to expose irresponsible or illegal practices and hold agencies and individuals accountable that have weaponized government agencies against the American people. Quote from Johnson, "As heirs to the American Revolution and the descendants of the patriots who defied tyranny, in the coming months, we're going to pass legislation to roll back the totalitarianism. The fourth branch of government known as the administrative state. We're going to drastically cut the size and the scope of government. We're going to return the power back to the people. And in coordination with President Trump and his administration, we're going to create a leaner, faster, and more efficient federal workforce. We need to do that. Our people do not deserve to be ruled by millions of bureaucrats they never voted for, never met, and can never hold accountable. They deserve a government that is led by those they've elected to lead. That's how Article 1 is supposed to work. And that's the idea of the Congress, and we will return to that principle. The American people have called on us to reject business as usual and throw out the status quo. We must and will heed their call." Mike Johnson. And all of that's good news. Mike Johnson's a God-fearing man. And if it weren't for principled, God-based politicians, America would collapse financially and morally. So that's the news. But what all does it mean? Well, it's just a reminder that there is economic lawlessness in America and in this world. Now, just like there is sexual immorality, there is also economic and financial immorality. In fact, if there's lawlessness and sexual immorality, there will also always be lawlessness in economics, because the same principles apply. If there are no sexual rules and everything is relative sexually, the same people will not believe in economic rules. So everything is relative financially. And if the basis for sexual ethics has become the gain of pleasure, then the basis for financial ethics has also become gain. And we see this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, which speaks about men of depraved minds and deprived of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Now, this sounds very religious, as if it's referring to religious hucksters and the prosperity gospel, and it does apply in those cases, but the meaning is much broader. It's supposing that what is good is gain. The word God, theos, is not in the Greek word here for godliness. It's really referring to ethical norms. And what the text is saying is that depraved people determine what is right and wrong based upon what gives them gain. So if printing money to pay for useless, bloated, bureaucratic jobs pays the bills and gives me an easy life, it must be right, because right and wrong are determined by gain. For these people, godliness is a means of gain, or rather, right and wrong are based upon what they gain. This is why only a God-centered Christian citizenship will be financially responsible. Because for God-fearing people, right and wrong are not determined by what they can gain, but by the higher law of God. And there is such a thing as unjust gain. By getting paid for unjust work, useless work, non-work, and only those who operate on God's principles reject unjust gain. The unprincipled, the unsaved, take whatever they can get. And they assume that if someone is willing to pay them for it, or if they can get their hands on it, then it must be okay, because what's right is based upon personal gain. Such as cheating in an election is okay if it means I win the election, or lying is okay if it helps me protect my image, furthers my cause, or keeps me funded. So, just as there's rampant immorality in our country, the same people are promoting financial corruption. And they're justifying the financial corruption using the same arguments to justify sexual immorality. That this is compassion. This is helping others. This is equity. This is personal empowerment. So what we have is basically the same greed that arose in ancient Israel before the judgment of God fell upon the nation. The same greed that the prophet spoke against, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, for from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Jeremiah 8:10, therefore I will give their wives to others and their fields to new owners, because from the least, even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practices deceit. Jeremiah 22:17. But your eyes and your heart are intent only upon your dishonest gain, and on shedding innocent blood, and on practicing oppression and extortion. Isaiah 56:11. And the dogs are greedy, and they're not satisfied. And they're shepherds who have no understanding. They've all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. The Old Testament prophet spoke out just as much concerning financial lawlessness as sexual lawlessness. And the prophets also spoke out against idolatry, because it was really the false beliefs about God that were responsible for the change in moral and financial ethics. Just like today, atheism and paganism is behind the current day lawlessness. And just like in ancient Israel, the main culprit in the greed was the government, not the workers in their business. You know, people on the left try to make you think that the greed is in the corporations. But the corporations can't force you to buy their products. And if they charge too much, there's always someone who will undercut their price. But governments have monopoly power. And the dealing falsely and the unjust gain and the deceit of the federal government is in violating God's law concerning just weights and measures. Deuteronomy 25. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Also Amos chapter 8, verse 5. To make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales. It's a sin against God to print money and devaluate the currency, rather than raise money through taxation. It's deceit, it's unjust gain, and a Christian nation, a Christian people would never do this. There would be respect for what people have earned and saved, and the value of their dollar wouldn't be stolen from them. You know, the other day, my sister pointed out that on Zillow, the house I grew up in New Milford, New Jersey, is valued at $670,000. And the property tax is $19,000 a year. My father bought that house in the 1960s for $8,000. About a year and a half salary for my father, who is simply a bookkeeper. Today, young families can't afford such a basic house. And it's not all relative. The price increase is actually a hidden tax due to the Federal Reserve's policy and government money printing. So anyway, what does this all mean for Christians? Why should we care? I mean, we're not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth. So what if the world and its corruption places unjust taxes on people to support a bureaucratic leisure class? Well, the prophets of old spoke against the financial corruption of the nation. And Jesus spoke against the financial corruption of Israel's leadership, how they lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders. And the apostles spoke against the greed of the unsaved, describing mankind's fallen condition as practicing every kind of impurity with greediness. Certainly, we need to address this problem because we need to show the people their transgressions so they'll realize they're sinners in need of repentance. Isaiah 58:1, show my people their transgressions. And we need to address this corruption to relieve the oppressed and to break every yoke. Isaiah 58:6. And we are to pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, that there would be justice in the land. But also in all this, as Christians, we need to keep our focus on the gospel and the need for real justice. The financial corruption in this world is always going to be there. We need to use it to just illustrate the fact that the world is corrupt and passing away. Yes, we need to strive for financial justice in this world and make for fairness and make for life easier down here. But the only final and complete solution is eternal life and being a citizen of the coming kingdom of Christ. And that's what we need to communicate. This is what Jesus was referring to in fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus wasn't just speaking about relieving the people of Roman oppression, but saving them from Satan and their own sin, of which the Roman taxation was just one sign of that deeper problem. Now, in this world, even the unsaved hate freeloaders and crooks. So in the providence of God, God has raised up conservative leadership in Washington that plans to drain the swamp, cut off the water supply. Proverbs 21:15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror for the workers of iniquity. They don't want economic justice. They don't want law. They don't want responsibility and accountability. And they're terrified over what a conservative Congress and administration might do. The leisure bureaucratic class might have to get a job in the private sector, and nobody's going to pay them to pontificate about DEI or to hand out money to grant applicants. They might have to actually do some real Genesis chapter 3 work by the sweat of their brow. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, he cut 80% of the employees from 8,000 down to 1,500 employees. And all of the work still got done because all of the Twitter employees hired under Jack Dorsey were socializing on the job. It was one big casual party. Twitter is simply a computer program that does all the work. They never needed 8,000 employees. And the same is probably true for the federal government. Most of the employees and their services are really not needed. If they disappeared, Americans would do just fine. You know, the Department of Education doesn't really teach a single student. Well, in the months ahead, I plan to cover their terror and their complaints when the cuts begin. But for now, I just want to emphasize the financial corruption. And that through this knowledge of sin, we need to point people to Christ and his salvation. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at YouTube and Rumble. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Stand fast in the Word of God, contend for the faith, and may Jesus Christ reign.